All right, guys, so we are in lesson 15. We're looking at chapter 8 today, and we're going to talk about generosity. Okay? Generosity. Of course, this has to do with giving. And so we're going to look and see what Paul has said, is saying to them. Now, remember, he talked about this topic with them in the first letter, 1 Corinthians. Okay? And it has to do with them setting aside money to be sent to the church in Jerusalem, which was undergoing some very severe, I think there was a famine at that time in Jerusalem, so it was they were suffering. And so he wanted to have them, who were far away, send a gift to kind of get them through that. And so we're going to learn some lessons here about generosity. So let me just go ahead and just start off right off the bat so I can help you to understand. All right, so I think everybody here maybe at some point has been taught about tithing. Is that correct? Everybody's been taught about tithing. What have you been taught? Can I ask that question? 10%, okay? Anybody else? 10%. What have you been taught about tithing? Okay, so that's how God blesses you, and you always need to give, okay? What have you been taught if you don't give? Okay, you're not going to receive the blessings that you normally would? Okay, all right. Anybody else? Oh, it's sin, okay. All right, sin, okay. I'm kind of shocked. Maybe I'm the only one that ever experienced. I was going to a church of a well-known pastor for 6 years, and I remember lots of messages being told that if I didn't give, God was going to get it from me anyhow, with my engine blowing up or something happening, you know what I'm saying, or 4 or 5 tires on the interstate, you know what I'm saying. God was going to get that money somehow, okay? Yeah, who knew God was in the mafia? Yeah, okay. Okay, yeah, okay. Have you not heard those kind of things? Okay, so you're saying, well, you've taught us something different, George. Okay.
Yeah. I was never taught that. What I was taught, that was my duty.
All right, that was your duty. Okay, all right. So let me just go ahead and start off by telling you that tithing is an Old Testament law that was given to the people of Israel. Okay? Now, of course, obviously it had some roots before that because we see Abraham giving a tithe of all that he took, all right? So it is an offering to the Lord, all right? So there is a mandate to the people of Israel to bring a tithe to the temple, all right? Now, when you get to the New Testament, though, you're not going to see the word used. You're not going to find tithing in any of the letters. You're going to see offerings. Bring your offerings. But you don't see tithe, okay, a tenth percent. If any time when Jesus mentions it, he talks about how ridiculous the Pharisees are because they tithe of their spices, okay? So think about your spice cabinet for a moment. And you shake out 10% and don't drop it in the offering box, okay? All right, so that's not what we're talking about, okay? But he talked about they elevated themselves by showing off their tithing. But it never talks about tithing in any of the New Testament letters at all, okay? But what it talks about is generosity. It talks about you giving as the Lord leads you to give, and even maybe giving beyond that. And we're going to talk about that today, okay? Because the emphasis in the scripture is God loves a cheerful giver, okay? That's from the Corinthian letters. And what were you going to say?
Well, it's become a business transaction, but really it's a heart issue.
Okay, we've made it a business transaction, and it's really a heart issue is what you're saying. Is that what you're saying, John? Okay, yeah. It's exactly right. It's a heart issue. Because if you're being told, Okay, it's a duty. All right, I understand that. But if you're being told, like I've told you, that some people will say that God will get it from you anyhow, and there are dudes on TV that kind of say that stuff, right? Okay, so when you give, are you giving out of a cheerful heart or are you giving out of fear? Compulsion. Not by compulsion, Scripture says, but it's compulsion. A fearful, fear-driven compulsion, okay? Fear-driven compulsion. And what I want you to see is when we go through this, I want you to learn what Paul's trying to tell them. He's going to give the example today of the Macedonians as compared to the Corinthians. And you're going to see a big contrast there in their giving and their desire to give. Okay? So it's going to answer a lot. So hopefully we'll have a good conversation today. So let's notice, first of all, we're going to look at the example of the Macedonians. Let's look at verses 1 to 5. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord. All right, catch what he said. Of their own accord. Okay, let's go on. Begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. All right, so let's talk about the Macedonians here. Okay, so first of all, Paul wanted to tell the Corinthians about how grace was being shown to the Macedonians. Now, we're talking about generosity of funds. He starts off by saying that grace is given to the Macedonians. What do you think that means? What do you think that means? We understand grace, right? Okay, no requirements were made of them, but grace is not something you ask for. It's something that's given, okay? All right, so what do you think it means, he's saying here, about grace being given to these Macedonians? Okay, that's part of it. That's good. That's the first part. But there's grace also for them to do something here too, right? Yes, and so he gave them the grace to do it. This is what I want you to see. It's going to come out of the passage. Giving, being generous, isn't just you. Being generous is God giving through you. And so many of us will say, well, I'd love to give, but I just don't have the resources. I don't have the ability. I've got these bills coming up, George. What are you expecting from me? Times are tough right now, you know? I'm just glad I have a job. And he's saying grace was given to them. And we see how that grace is manifested here in a moment. So the condition. So the Macedonians were facing extreme difficulties such as affliction and poverty. Now, does everybody understand what poverty means? That means going without meals. Okay? So here's the Macedonians, okay? This is their situation. Paul pointed out that in spite of their condition, they had joy. Now, anybody struck by that? That in spite of hardships, poverty, persecution, they still had joy. Does that seem weird? I'm trying to get an honest answer here. Everybody's like, I'm not sure if I want coffee.
First quarter, okay?
Yeah. Yes.
And they have that joy.
Yes.
And we don't have joy, but we know where our next meal is coming from. And more.
Okay.
And we don't have that joy.
No.
We're so concerned about things that we shouldn't be concerned about.
Okay. All right. Good. That's good, Bruce. So let me ask a question. When it talks about joy here, does that mean happiness? Okay, good. I want everybody to understand that. God's not calling you to be, things are terrible. I'm so happy. You know, that's not, people would look at that and say, are you weird? Do we need to take you to the mental health unit in Du Bois? Seriously, that's not what we're talking about happiness here. But what we're talking about is you can have joy in the midst of difficulties because joy is found in who? Yeah, in the Lord. In the Lord Jesus. In fact, isn't that what John says? It's interesting because, we're going through 1 John for the morning message. And of course, in chapter 1, I write you these things so that your joy may be complete. Jesus said the very same thing in the upper room about he wanted their joy to be complete. Meaning him. He's the reason for their joy being complete. So even though everything's going haywire around you, you can still have joy. So here we are. He points out that in spite of their condition, they had joy. They had joy in the Lord. All right. Now, the Macedonians also abounded in riches because of their liberality. Now, when you say abounded in riches, George, what do you mean? He just said they were in poverty. Is there a type of riches that you and I can experience that isn't monetary? Yeah. You can have a richness in your life that isn't tied to how fat your wallet is. Did you understand what I'm saying? You can have a richness in life. Like, for instance, let's be honest, okay? So it's Labor Day weekend, which typically, like in our family, means getting together with our clan, okay? Getting together with our family. A lot of people, holidays mean getting together with family, right? Okay. And you sit there and you listen and you talk and you're apart. And can I be honest with you? Maybe it's me, but there's a richness there. There is a richness of being with your family and enjoying life and laughing and going to get ice cream together. Okay, so I skipped my meal yesterday so I could get a big, I made a mistake, but I got a cheesecake avalanche type thing, or a blizzard type thing, okay? So that was terrible. I should have just got the Oreos instead of the cheesecake, but I'll learn the next time, okay? So we're sitting there, and there's a richness there, but you can't measure that in finances, right? Do you see what I'm saying? So he said, for them, they abounded in richness because of their liberality. Now, it doesn't mean that they were liberals. It meant that they were willing to give up what they had to help somebody else. Do you understand what I'm saying? That they were willing to help somebody else. They were being used of God. Yes, there was a blessing in that. There was a joy in that. God was using them. God was providing for them. So here's the testimony of their giving. So Paul states that they freely gave beyond their ability and resources. So they freely gave beyond their ability and their resources. When I was a younger man studying for ministry, I read the biography of the great missionary to China, Hudson Taylor. And Hudson Taylor knew all his life that he wanted to go to China. So when he was preparing to go to China when he was a young man, He studied as an apprentice to a doctor. He wanted to learn medicine, okay? And so as an apprentice to the doctor, he would go and do house calls. And but he got a meager wage, and he paid his rent, and it was time for rent to be due. But he got called to go to a certain part of London, and there were some Irish workers there, and the Irish worker had a wife who was sick, and so Taylor went there, took care of her, and told the guy that she was going to need some medicine. And the guy didn't have any money. And he's saying, well, I'll try, sir, but I don't have any money. Well, Taylor is sitting there with his hand in his pocket, twirling an English crown, which would have been his rent, in his hand. And he kept saying, well, you need to do something, because this is the only way she's going to get better. And he said, and he kept arguing with himself, saying, you know, if I give her this, then I don't have any rent. But she needs this medicine. So he reached in his pocket, pulled out the English crown, gave it to that Catholic guy to take care of his wife. So now he's going home, having taken care of her, and he's like, how am I going to pay my rent? Well, when he got home, there was a letter for him from the doctor that he worked for. The doctor had forgotten to pay him the week prior. And so in the letter was a note from the doctor saying, hey, I remembered that I forgot to pay you, so here is your wages. And it was God was taking care of him. He just needed to be obedient and generous and do what God was telling him to do. Do you see what I'm saying? The Macedonians were like that. The Macedonians were freely giving beyond their resources and their abilities. Do you understand? Now, all right, so let me just stop for a moment. When we talk about giving, are we only talking about giving to the church? Yeah, in their own different ways. What were you going to say, Bruce? We're not here, but there are pastors. When scriptures teach about giving, they're talking about you being willing to give around you. Do you see what I'm saying? God will take care of his people. So what we want you to be generous. If you're generous, then you will respond to the needs on your own as the Lord leads you to give. It doesn't have to be a law. Because sometimes, and it doesn't even have to be money. It could be helping somebody out. Like years ago, I've told this story many times about somebody being led to help somebody in our church with their car, doing the work right in their yard. Do you understand? Being generous, willing to give, okay? Willing to give. So he states that they freely gave beyond their resources. Now here's their determination. The Macedonians urged Paul to take their gift. I could see this happening. Paul knows their situation. He's probably not, he maybe mentioned that there was a need in Jerusalem, and he's probably mentioned to a few of them who maybe could afford to give something, but most of them can't. But they're like, take the gift, Paul. Take the gift to them. That's the kind of attitude we see here, okay? He's urging them to do that. So they want it to be a part of the ministry. That's the issue. They gave because they wanted to be a part of what God was doing. Did you understand? This is the issue. Giving is being a part of what God is doing. It's because you want to. Giving is being a part of what God is doing. And so let me ask you something. Do you think joy comes from doing something because you're told to do it, or because you freely wanted to do it and you got joy from doing what you wanted to do? Yeah. Yeah, you know, when I used to work for the airlines, I got told to do a lot of things during the day. I can tell you right now, I didn't have joy. Do you know what I'm saying? I didn't have, maybe when the paycheck came, you know what I'm saying, but that was about it. Do you know what I'm saying? I definitely, when I was in the military, there was no joy there. Do you understand? It's like, what am I getting out of here? You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, this is the reality. But when they wanted to be a part of the ministry, so look at their priorities. The Macedonians were giving to who first? God first. That's who they were giving to. Because listen, do you understand? Now, how can you get to that point? It's recognizing that what you have comes from God in the first place. That's the only way that you can give to him first, is if you realize what you have, comes from the Lord. He's the one who blesses you. Okay? What you have comes from the Lord. All right, now let's talk about the Corinthians. Look with me at verses 6 and 7. Here's what Paul writes about them. Accordingly, we urged Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. Okay, there it is again. Same term, this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see also that you excel in this act of grace. Now, what do you think he's talking about here? This act of grace. What do you think he's talking about here? What does this act of grace mean? What's it referring to? Their generosity. That's exactly right. The giving. So Paul is referring to the giving as an act of grace. Now, what do you think? Why would he refer to it as that? I don't know, George. Tell me. Let me ponder it a little bit. Go through the points. Okay, here we are. So first of all, he urged Titus to give the Corinthians an opportunity to experience the same grace. The same grace. Giving is grace. So here it is. The Corinthians are to abound in the grace of giving as they abound in other graces. So look at the other graces that are mentioned there, okay? So, but you excel in everything, in faith. Now, does everybody recognize your faith is given to you by the Lord, right? That's a grace, right? Okay, look here. In speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, in our love for you. So grace is the ability to do what God's calling you to do. So he's urging them, okay, to abound in the grace of giving. So do you understand? Giving is a grace because who helps you to give? God does. Do you understand? He does. So when he tells you, okay, so like let's go back to Hudson Taylor. When he's urging through the Spirit Hudson Taylor to give up that crown, that English crown, to help that woman to get, so her husband can get the medicine, that's an act of, that's God stirring him. He's saying, give it up. I'm going to take care of you. You do this. He's giving him the grace to do it. And of course, it happened. When he came home, there was a letter with money. Now, don't expect that if you, God tells you to give somebody $5 when you get home, there'll be a letter in the door with 50, okay? I know some people say that, use that as a, that's not, can he? Yes. But he will take care of you. Do you understand? He will take care of you. So God is abounding in wanting to tell you to abound in grace, like in the other graces. Here's the test of the Corinthians. First of all, he's not commanding the Corinthians to give. So look at verse 8. Now, this verse is not quoted very often. Look with verse 8. But I say this not as a command, but to prove the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. So it's not a command. Verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. All right, so let's take a look here. All right, so this is not a command. What do you guys think about that? He's not commanding you to give. What's your reaction to that? Well, it does, yes, okay. If I make something a command, yes, it's something that I have to do, and it takes away the grace from it, okay. Anybody else? What's your reaction to that? Laura, you got your hand up. Yes. Rather than us drawing names at Christmas. Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, like they actually want to do that.
And it's not something that we're requiring them to, but they want to. Yes. It's more meaningful. Yes, it's more meaningful, okay. Anybody else? When he's saying to you, oh, John, go ahead. Yes, he's wanting them to experience the same, let's call it grace, right? He's wanting them to experience the same grace in being able to do that, because the Macedonians were experiencing, and they didn't have anything. But God gave them the ability to give. You know what I'm saying? He gave them the ability to give. Anybody else? Okay. Yes.
So the same thing with that. If you make something a command, drudgery is something that, if I don't do this, I'm going to be in trouble. But he wants you to do it because you want to do it.
Yes, that's good, Bruce. And I guess I would also go one step beyond. When you have a command, how do you guys normally do with commands? Are you perfect with them? No, we fail, right? Yeah, we try to do the bare minimum, yes, okay? So, we fail. He doesn't want giving to be something that you view defeated. You know what I'm saying? He wants giving to be from the heart based on the grace he gives you to give. Do you understand? Based on the grace that he gives you to give. All right, Tim? Yes.
And that we fell for that. And how easy we fell for that, because that's what we were taught. And but yet it kind of worried me, like, what else did I fall for that I should not have thought about?
Okay, yeah. So you're going beyond giving, you're wondering what other kind of legalisms are you doing, yeah. Okay. It's interesting that you said fell for that. I don't think that we all, quote, fell for it. I think there's an earnest desire when you're a young believer to want to do what's honoring to the Lord, and you go by the example of others around you, okay? And depending on the type of church you go to, the example around you can lead you into actions that are not necessarily, their motivation may be right, but it may not be right. So like, for instance, when I got saved at 19. I didn't come from a Christian family. I went to an independent Baptist church in West Columbia, South Carolina. And I wanted to be like everybody else, grow in the Lord. So what did that mean? I wanted to carry the right Bible. Now, yeah, they told you the only Bible to use was King James, but I wanted to carry, so I used a King James. When I was ordained, I was given a King James Bible. When I first started my ministry in Canada, I used the King James Bible for about 2 weeks. Then I switched to a new King James. And that was because nobody understood the language of the King James. So when I did that, I dressed up. I wore a suit. I mean, and when I married Lori and I moved before we went to Canada, we spent 2 years. I worked for her dad in the Christmas tree field while I was waiting for the first church to go to. I would go to her home church, which is over in Smicksburg. It's a nice-sized church. And I would, you know, I would wear my suit there. And there's only one other dude in church that had a suit on. That was the preacher. And Lori would say to me, you know, you don't need to wear a suit here. These are farmers. These are, you know, workers. You don't need to do that. But, yeah, but because I was from the South and everybody in the South wore a suit, I wore a suit, you know. But, yeah, so it's not like I fell for it. The desire was to serve the Lord. But sometimes in our desire, a lot of times it's out of a lack of understanding. And like in this instance, if we look at what Paul says about giving, we realize that when you understand, he gives you the grace to give. And it's not a command. Okay? Go ahead. Yes. Yeah, change is a good thing. Okay? You know, when a baby cries because it needs change, it's happy when the diaper gets changed, right? Yeah, so change can be a good thing, right? Okay. So he's not giving a command. Rather, Paul is wishing to test the sincerity of their love. So he's not making it a command, but rather he's making it as, okay, so you say you love people, you love God, you love people. Then let it reflect out of your life. Generosity towards others is a reflection of what, folks? Love, right? You say you love people. I mean, talk is cheap. Then let it come out of your life in generosity towards others. Can I tell you one of the biggest things that you could be generous with that a lot of us don't want to be generous with? And I'm not talking about money. Time. Time. Giving somebody your time. Because I can tell you right now, in my life, there have been moments when, you know, I don't need this right now, Lord. I got this going on. You know what I'm saying? You say that kind of crazy stuff, but God wants you to talk to somebody. Do you understand? Talk to somebody. So here's what I want you to see. The example of Jesus. Jesus gave up riches so that we might become rich. Now, when he says become rich, I'm not talking about your bank account getting bigger. Having the retirement plan that you want, the vacation you want to go on. That's not what he's talking about, because we talked about riches as being more than just money, right? He gave up so that you would be rich in the Lord spiritually. Okay? So next week, we're going to focus on some more advice that he's giving in the latter part of chapter 8 concerning the issue of giving. So we're going to spend one more week here